Thank God it's Free Range. You are listening to Free Range Radio Friday with your host, Michael Elves. Pour yourself a beverage and turn up the volume, because here on 101.5 UMFM, the weekend starts now.
UMFM. This is Thank God It's Free Range, the Friday edition of Free Range Radio. I'm Michael Loves, and kicking things off for us tonight, Charlotte, North Carolina band Shadowgraphs with Sun Is Rising. That is a new single from Brian Olson and Wills Glade, who follow up Venomous Blossoms, the LP released in 2017 out on Golden Brown Records. Really great kind of psych pop stuff, and nice mood to kick things off tonight. We have got a busy show. We're going to be talking to local rapper Jay Kells. We're going to be talking to Vancouver band Dumb. And coming up right after this next song, we're going to be talking to Gil Carroll about Real Love Summerfest, which already started about 30 minutes ago, but I managed to get him by phone a little ahead of time. Before we get to that, though, Hosanna is another duo who just released a new record called Picture Him Protecting You on Fresh Selects out of Portland, Oregon. This is more psych dance featuring brothers Brandon and Richard Laws. We're going to hear a track called Sheep Soda. This is Hosanna's here on 101.5 UMFM. Well, our friend from Real Love Winnipeg, Gil Carroll, joins us on the line. We're taping this in advance because he's already out in Toulon putting Real Love Summerfest together. It starts tonight. It's already underway. Things kicked off with House Panther, is that right?
That's right, at 6 p.m.
That's pretty great. So in terms of the fest this year, you got Tops and Hooded Fang are kind of like the top build. How long ago did you kind of secure those two, and was that kind of your ambition for this year's headliners?
Well, we always shoot to the moon for our headliners and sort of see where we come up. Mm-hmm. You know, always land among the stars kind of thing. But we are super, super excited. I think Topps and Hooded Fang are sort of two of the main Canadian bands that both myself and Adam, who does Real Love With Me, sort of got into when we were first coming into the music scene and sort of inspired us musically in many ways. So it feels like kind of a bit of a, not a full circle kind of moment, but just a really awesome and exciting moment where it's like, these are bands that we sort of grew up on a little bit, and now to be able to have them both playing our festival feels really good. So we're super excited.
Right on. Now, I mean, you guys have been doing, you know, obviously a lot of shows at the Handsome Daughter and other places over the course of the past few years. Is there, do you, in terms of scheduling things out, do you kind of try to like hold something in reserve or kind of like plot that out so that the Winnipeg shows don't necessarily take away from the festival, or how do you kind of try to balance that?
Yeah, it can be tough because, you know, obviously Winnipeg has tons of amazing artists, but at the end of the day, we aren't that big of a city. So when we're doing so many shows on a monthly basis, sometimes we find that we run into concerns about, you know, maybe overbooking or oversaturating our audience and that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So it's a bit of a challenge sometimes, but I think we try our best and do a decent job at sort of spreading the love with what bands we book, and sort of if there's bands that we really like that didn't necessarily make sense for the festival this year, we would sort of book them close to or around the festival leading up to it, so we can kind of save, for lack of a better word, the artists that we want to play the fest, to sort of make it extra special when they perform at the festival.
So you have Topps and Hooded Fang at the sort of the headlining spots. How do you go about kind of like infilling the bill around them, or like do you give consideration to kind of like what sounds you have on a specific night?
For sure. We're definitely conscious of sort of what we're booking in terms of musical genre, diverse representation on stage, a good balance of local and touring artists. And we do our best to sort of work within our pretty limited budget of what we can pull off in terms of bringing artists who maybe wouldn't otherwise get to Winnipeg on an average sort of touring schedule. So like Namdi, for instance, from Chicago is coming up just to play the festival. And he's been a touring musician from Chicago, which isn't that far from Winnipeg, but he's never been to Winnipeg. So that's an exciting thing for us.
Yeah, that border, I mean, even though it's not that far away, that border presents a bit of a problem.
Yeah, exactly.
In terms of, you know, getting someone like that, then do you have to go through sort of like the legal hoops and all the like paperwork around bringing someone from outside of Canada?
Yeah, it's a lot easier bringing people to Canada than bringing artists to the States.
Right.
For Canada, you basically just need a letter that they can provide at the border that says that this is, you know, a legit thing, and then that they're coming to do a performance, and this is where they're playing and when and what they get paid and that kind of thing. It just sort of lays it all out so it doesn't look, you know, fishy at the border or anything like that.
Right. So in terms of like, you know, you're this is the fest that's happening now, but like, are you already kind of like looking forward at next year and sort of starting to kind of get the ball rolling on that? Is this kind of like a constant thing for you guys at this point?
Totally. We're always thinking about how to make everything we do better and bigger and more exciting, while still obviously emphasizing, like, you know, sort of that grassroots community vibe. But we really do want to build the festival and Real Love as a brand. So we're always sort of brainstorming. And Adam and I tour regularly with our band Living Hour. And so that's usually a good opportunity to sort of meet new bands and see bands play live that we otherwise wouldn't, to sort of get a sense of, you know, maybe they would be a good fit for the festival moving forward and that kind of thing.
Right. So then bands that you've seen live, have there been ones where you've kind of like liked them on tape and then caught them live without naming names that, you know, you were like, ah, maybe not?
Yeah, for sure. There's definitely bands that are way better recorded than they are live, or vice versa. And that happens, I think, for a variety of reasons, but that's definitely happened. Not anything local necessarily, but there's been a few sort of artists we've talked about maybe for a headliner slot or sort of a better time slot, a touring artist, and then we'll go and like look up their, you know, KEXP session or, you know, something like that. And then we'll be like, you know, actually, this doesn't really connect with us live much, and we don't think it'll be a great fit.
What, you know, I'm going to put you on the spot. In terms of local acts, is there one that you think is going to connect with audiences that people might not have seen live yet?
Well, I don't know if I'm biased, but I do think that Veneer is one of the most exciting bands coming out of the city right now. The reason I say I'm biased is because I play in Living Hour with one of the members of Veneer, Sam, but it's different than Living Hour, and it's a totally new and exciting project, and I think everyone that sees them loves them, and not mm-hmm. just for their music, but also for their live show, so they're definitely a front runner for that. Uh-huh. But we got lots of great local bands going this year. Lead Snow, House Panther, Urban Vacation, lots of young, really talented folks. So we're excited to be presenting them this weekend.
Right on. Well, before we go, Gil, I want to get you to pick a track from someone. Maybe it's that first Veneer single or maybe something else that we can play for listeners.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that Veneer song, Unsure, I think is a hit. So let's roll with that.
We'll do that. RealLoveSummerFest.com for all the details. And are you guys, is that the, on Instagram and Facebook and stuff, is it Real Love Summerfest?
Yeah, or at Real Love Winnipeg works as well.
Perfect. Well, Gil, thanks very much for taking some time out of your busy schedule, and best of luck with the fest.
Thank you so much, Michael. Really appreciate it.
Thank you. somebody down, get inside their head. I ain't dead yet. You can go anywhere when you're somebody else. Imitate.
We're back here on Thank God It's Free Range, and you just heard a new song from Cursed Arrows. This is a band we featured before here on Thank God It's Free Range. I think the last record they had has been a couple of years, but the duo is now a trio. They have an album called Rebirth coming out August 10th, and Near Death Daydream is available as a streaming track on their Bandcamp page. But we heard Oh My Life, one of my favorites from the forthcoming LP. Before that, Veneer. And my thanks to Gil for taking some time out of his very busy schedule to talk to me. Speaking of talking to me, we're going to be talking to the band Dumb. They're playing HMS Arlington this coming weekend. But got them by phone earlier this week as they tour across North America. They're touring their new album, Seeing Green, that is out on Mint Records. Before we get to that, though, Helena DeLand just dropped a single from the forthcoming EP, let's call it, from the series of songs altogether unaccompanied Volume 3 and 4. So 1 and 2 featured two tracks each, and then now 3 and 4 is going to feature four more tracks, so in an interesting way, I guess, putting a full length together eventually. Helena DeLand from Montreal has a new track out called Claudion. I just landed in my inbox earlier this week. We're going to give that one a listen right here, right now, on 101.5 UMFM.
Die for
ask myself, I don't come up as someone else, it's true. And you fail.
All right, well, Vancouver band Dumb playing HMS Arlington July 27th. They are currently, July 29th. They're currently on the road somewhere between Indianapolis and Chicago, and they join me by phone. How's it going?
Great.
So you guys are in the midst of a pretty epic North American tour. I know that you've hit New Orleans, amongst other places. What's been one of the highlights so far for you on the road?
I like D.C. I like going to the memorials and the museums. I thought that was great.
I really liked hanging out in Montreal. I've never been there before. It was really nice. After being in New York, too, which was really fun, but also, yeah, no, it's really fun, too. I don't know.
Did you guys go to the Smithsonian in D.C.?
Did we go to the Smithsonian? Yeah. Or we went to the National Art Gallery.
National Art Gallery, okay, yeah. Yeah, there's lots of great museums in D.C. What was it about Montreal that you liked?
I don't know. It was just really relaxed. And our show was awesome. We had a lot of friends there. And
played with some really good bands.
Who were the bands that you played with in Montreal?
Eliza Niemi from Mauno played. Also, Mono No Aware. And one other act that...
Green Day.
They played some Blink-182 covers.
So in terms of the Green Day comment and the Blink-182 thing makes me think of just kind of like you guys have been described as punk, as post-punk, as a lot of different things. Setting out as the band Dumb, did you have kind of like an idea in mind as to what sonically you wanted to be or sort of who you were kind of building off the backs of?
Not at all. Yeah, I think we're still developing and changing that constantly.
We kind of just do what we feel like sounds fun.
I read an interview you did with KEXP that where you said, you know, you kind of get bored with songs and then move on. Is that just kind of the eternal chase for fun?
I think it's growth. And yeah, I don't know. I feel like saying we get bored of them Yeah, I think we phrased it negatively there. I think we're just interested in, like, exploring new sonic styles and covering a lot of ground. And I think it builds up if we keep doing that. So, yeah.
So, we do play a lot of our old songs. Or not a lot, a couple, a few. So We don't get entirely bored forever.
You said builds up. Do you see Seeing Green as kind of like the next step for the band? Like, so this is three albums in. You've kind of like step one, step two, step three, and then whatever comes next will be like the logical step four for the band?
Hopefully.
Yeah, I don't know how logical it'll be, but...
Oh, okay.
It might...
A new step would be good.
Yeah, it'll be different.
I know that you had Jordan Koop master the last record, and then he produced this one. Like, is that kind of part of that sort of process?
I'm down to go with Jordan Koop again. I think that was really nice, like, experience. He actually mastered Beach Church, which is a few albums ago.
Okay. I had them in the wrong order then. As I understand it, the idea for Seeing Green kind of really crystallized once you had Romeo and realized kind of the thematic thing that you were addressing and sort of like the variegated ways of green being in popular culture. How conscientious of that were you when you were kind of like in the midst of writing songs?
So like halfway through writing the album, I think he became aware of it. And Romeo was like the first song that we wrote, but it wasn't necessarily like, oh, we wrote Romeo and now we're going to write all the songs in a similar vein. It was more just like, we had a bunch of songs. Some of them didn't end up on the album. And yeah, there was like a common thread, but it isn't like pure. It's not well defined, so to speak. It's just like a common thread that all the songs generally share. That was almost sort of realized after the fact, but yeah, while writing the album, like halfway through, I'd say.
So green in a sense is kind of like the lens through which you view these songs rather than like how you created them.
Yeah, sure.
So I was going to ask in terms of like creative process then, as far as songwriting goes, is it a shared thing within the band, or do each of you kind of come with a song and say, hey, let's flesh this out? Like, how does it work within the band?
I think it depends on the song.
Gal brings a lot of the structures and we like flesh it out.
Yeah, there's a lot of, like, deliberation. Some things, like, get changed a lot. Some things are still, like, changing now, and we play them differently than how they are on the album. But yeah, some songs come out of jamming. I think we want to do more of that as well.
More jamming?
Well, yeah, more songs that come as a product of jamming.
Is there a particular reason you want to do more of that?
Because they sound better.
And when you say sound better, like what exactly do you mean by that? Or can you put a finger on what you mean by that?
I like the songs better that came out of jamming. I guess that's the main thing.
Is that
I don't know exactly what I mean by that.
Is there something to do with kind of the spontaneity of that versus kind of like the forced nature of like sitting down and songwriting?
Yeah, probably.
It's more of a group effort.
It's more of
contribute equally, I guess.
Four heads are better than one, I guess.
Right. Now, all the songs on the record are relatively brief. Is that something that you guys intentionally did, like, or is that just, you know, the product of what these songs are, or like, I mean, it's a just kind of bracingly quick record.
I mean, I think it's intentional. I like shorter songs. What about you guys?
I think we don't really like beat ourselves up about songs being like long or like, oh, this needs another part. It's just kind of like, okay, that sounds good. It's done. And usually that means the songs are pretty short. I guess rather than work tons on a specific song, we just write a new song a lot of the time.
So speaking of writing a new song, as I understand it, you've already started writing some for the next record. Is that true, or is that kind of just hyperbole in one of the interviews?
Mostly hyperbole. We have about 2 albums fully complete.
I'd say we actually have some songs. Everyone kind of disagrees about like how, at what point can you say that you have a song done?
Okay.
But I think we've got at least 2 albums worth.
And at least
potential songs.
And is there any sort of like thematic kind of thing to them, or is it just a collection of songs currently? Like do you see if you like, is there a prism through which you can view any of these songs, or a way you can group them or put them under the same umbrella?
I think that they're going to be more serious.
All the songs we have right now are currently themeless, and we will add a theme later.
Sure enough. Before I let you go, I want to get you guys, usually I get the artist that I'm interviewing to pick a track off the record, but since I'm talking to all of you, I'll get each of you to pick a song off the record that we can play for folks.
Really? Give us 10 seconds to think.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we got Cowboys,
Who picks each one?
Oh, you want to hear, know who picks each one?
Sure.
Okay, I'm Shelby, and I'm picking Cowboys.
Okay.
This is Gal or Franco, and I'm picking Soft Theme.
Okay.
I'm picking Don't Get Me Started. I'm Felipe.
Did you hear that?
Felipe, Don't Get Me Started.
Yeah. Can I vote for playing as song twice?
You want a second? One song twice?
Okay, no. I'll go for Art Fact. I'm Nick.
Art Fact. All right. Well, we will go with all 4 of those, and then we will catch you on the 29th at HMS Arlington. Safe travels in the interim, guys, and thanks for taking some time out of your touring to talk to me.
Thanks so much for chatting with us.
Got a bullet in my back, making me limp and go all slack. Catching bounties on the wayward scene, making big boy choices, know what I mean? Caught him drunk in a jail cell. We're still friends, cause we're both going to hell. satire is a suture for my patience. Porcelain buttons leasing from my mind. So through money, gotta leave room for inflation. Sick, I'm not putting eyes that may be blind. Zip up to save my strength and amusement. Not trying to wait, but I guess it's not my time.
Oh, je suis beau, oui, je suis beau. Je fais vomir le feu de la terre, la terre de l'eau. Dans mes yeux terribles, la foule s'accumule. Oui. Je suis
is up, it's been past two. heads in the sand. Just this once, would you be a friend?
Dreams again.
We're back here on Thank God It's Free Range. You just heard Hamiltonian Ellis with their new single, The Drain. Before the break, Michaela Davis with In My Groove from the new record, Delivery. That's out on Concord. Ava Luna with Deli Run from Moon 2 on Western Vinyl. Popra Cosmic, which is an unearthed record from Finders Keepers. Les Escalves is the album, and that was Batman, and before that, a whole bunch of Dumb. They are at HMS Arlington this weekend. And coming up in just a few minutes, I'm going to be talking to Jay Kells, who is at the Goodwill next weekend, Saturday, August 4th. But before I get to that, a little blast from the past. Eastern European rapper, pop singer Dina, that's D-E-N-A. She first came to my attention with Cash Diamond Ring Swimming Pools. Over half a decade ago. She's back with a new record called If It's Written and has a collaboration with Sean Nicholas Savage, who's no stranger to listeners of Thank God It's Free Range. The Arbutus record artist is one of my faves. This is So Wrong with Sean Nicholas Savage. This is Dina here on 101.5 UMFM. All right, well, we are joined in studio by Jordan Taylor Kelly, a.k.a. Jay Kells, who has a show coming up at the Goodwill August 4th. That's a week Saturday. Welcome.
Yes, sir. Thanks for having me.
So let's kind of get a little bit of background on your hip-hop career. When did you kind of first start looking at this as like a pursuit rather than just kind of something you were interested in?
Yeah, for sure. I'd say probably around 2016 there, late 2016 is when I started kind of taking the music more serious instead of just like freestyling and kind of playing around with it with my friends. We just kind of made a rash decision. We've been freestyling at parties for a while, and I just kind of looked up the first studio I could find. It happened to be Studio 11, and we just booked it that night and made about 4 songs that night, and ever since we've been just kind of rolling like that and just trying to see how far we can kind of take it.
That night.
Yeah, exactly.
So it was that rash of a decision.
Yeah, for real. A lot of my friends been telling me to like kind of hit a studio for a long time, and I just kept kind of putting it off. And then one day we were just so bored, we just said, hey, like, why don't we just look up if there's any studios we can book tonight in the city? And then we did it, and that night we went. So it was just like that quick, honestly.
What were those friends saying to you in that lead up? And like, was there something specifically that they said that finally kind of pushed you? Or was it just like the aggregation of all the talk?
In a way, like, they've just been kind of like hyping me up from high school days, even like just at parties. I just freestyle. Like, I grew up in a predominantly more white neighborhood just in Transcona in the city. So in parties and whatnot, everybody would just kind of ask me if I could do a couple rhymes, if I could freestyle and whatnot. And it just kept building into me going for like 5 minutes, 10 minutes at a time. And then just throughout time, I just started even thinking, just off of the reactions I was getting from just my close group of friends, that it could probably do like some things around the world too if I could just like get it to that scale.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Was there a particular freestyler or person in your life that kind of first pointed the way?
Not necessarily. I've definitely just been like a diehard hip hop fan like since I was young. I'm definitely like really into the lyrics and like wordplay and stuff. But for the most part, it was just I did a poetry unit in the seventh grade, and that kind of got me into rhyming. And then from there, I just kind of switched from writing like poetry, more like love poetry and stuff as a younger kid. And then when they asked me to rap, I was kind of just translated it into just doing the rhymes in a different way, kind of.
So it was like skills you'd learned in school poetry that translated into the rap world.
Yeah, exactly, basically. And then just my love for like the actual music from other artists as well kind of just blended in with it.
Were there particular MCs that you appreciated as like kind of word creators?
Yeah, definitely. It's like a long, long list. Like, there's a lot of people just really talented with wordplay. And I'm really, that's really like the most important part of hip hop for me, at least. I know there's a lot of sampling and beats and there's other aspects to it, but the wordplay is definitely what kind of got me in love with it. So I'd say like definitely it kind of ranges from old school to new school. So I got like Jay-Z would be on the list, Nas. Drake for sure, Kendrick Lamar in the kind of middle generation there, and then even some of these young guys, like, there is a lot of mumble rap, there is a lot of other kind of more party themed rap, but there is a lot of them using the same type of wordplay. Like JID is a really good artist like coming up right now that I think is going to be like relevant in the next little bit too. So
right.
Mm-hmm.
Now when you say wordplay, like I mean, because some of them are storytellers, right?
Yeah,
like Nas, as like dexterous as he was as a rapper, is also a storyteller.
Yeah, for sure.
Is it, and then I think of like someone, like I think of the group Blacklicious, who, you know, kind of did like kind of verbal gymnastics and stuff like that. Is there kind of like, do you like the form or the like story? Like, do you have a preference or?
To me, it just really depends what kind of mood I'm in, I'd say. Uh-huh. But for the most part, it's just it doesn't necessarily have to be a story being told, or it doesn't have to be the deepest thing. It's just about really putting your words together, because even if it's a party track, I just still want to at least have the rhymes and the bars like attached to it too, you know what I mean? It doesn't necessarily have to be like as deep as Nas gets on Illmatic, but it could just be well put together and well written as well, and still be kind of party themed as well. But yeah, I would say probably my go-to kind of raps would be like New York theme raps, kind of like Nas, you said, or like just, you know, like kind of New York theme, just coming from that struggle and finding a way to kind of better your situation. That kind of theme is really what kind of drew me into hip hop.
Right. Mm-hmm. So that first night at Studio 11, you said you did 4 or 5 cuts. Was that all freestyle, or had you written anything?
No. So I do write and freestyle as well. But at that time, I just, because it's an hourly thing, I just wanted to make sure I got my money's worth. So we went in with 4 songs pre-written and just knocked those ones out. But for the most part, if I'm going to a studio where I'm booking, I'll probably just have it all written out in a set plan for what I'm going to do. But if we're just kind of kicking it at one of my dude's house and like recording on my mic or whatnot, then I'll probably freestyle and just have a little more freedom and fun with it.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Do freestyles ever then become kind of like hardened works for you? Like, do you find like you might say something spur of the moment that you're like, man, I need to like remember that or write that down?
Yeah, for sure. There's a few songs that I've written that actually started as freestyles just in the car, kind of like we'll just pop the voice memos on and whatnot too. So definitely with that, it's definitely a little rare. I kind of either usually write the whole song or I usually freestyle the whole song and keep it that way. But there is certain times where I'll do that too as well, actually.
Now, beats wise, do you work with like one set of producers, or are you kind of always looking for new sounds and new beats?
Yeah, for sure. I'm always looking for new ones. It's always like I kind of just want to keep building like a vault of music. So I'm always looking to just kind of make new music and meet new producers and new creators like that. But at the same time, I do have like a good core 2-3 guys that I'm kind of work with right now, and just kind of have like my beats from now, and I'm trying to like build up the projects with. So I'm definitely down to open to new collaborations with producers. But for the most part, I started off on YouTube Beats at the beginning of my journey, and now I've kind of transitioned to the three producers that kind of adapted to me or came over to me after seeing what I was doing with the YouTube Beats there.
So are they coming to you with specific beats that they think match your cadence or your style?
Yeah, a few of them made beats just specifically for me, but a couple guys just I hit them originally just off social media and kind of like what they were doing on their end of it, and they just made a beat pack, not necessarily fitted towards my style, but just a hip-hop beat pack. I could kind of choose at least 10 to 12. They'd probably send me about 15, and then we'd kind of just go from there and see if like maybe get a new one in and substitute one,
right?
And just kind of do it like that.
So the show on the 4th, what's kind of like the format of the show, or like kind of do you have like a game plan going in?
Yeah, for sure. So the show on the 4th, we got a few openers coming in. It's basically just me and some guests. We announced a few of them on social media so far, but we're going to just keep announcing them as we get closer to the date there. And basically the layout of the night is a lot of us have dropped projects in the last couple of weeks there, or are dropping projects in the next week or so. So we're just going to build it up, have a few performances opening before mine, have my set go on, have a few guys guests pop up during my set as well, just surprise guests as well, and then basically just celebrate all the mixtape releases after the show as well, and just kind of party with all the fans that came out to support us.
So guests coming up on in your set then, like, have you been working collaboratively? Is that something that you do on the rig?
Yeah, definitely. I've been working collaboratively with a lot of artists in Winnipeg here. So one would be Benny B, Andre Jensen, Rashawn Prince, Jam Jar. Been working with a few guys just in the city. Definitely trying to branch out and collab outside of the city as well, help build like bigger fan bases for everyone, both sides. But yeah, for the most part, I've been collabing a few kind of guys in the city, and then just really focusing on getting my own projects together and just kind of making my more of a debut push as an artist. I definitely like debuted in Winnipeg, but kind of pushing it to a larger scale and Canada and then America and then hopefully global. So
those collabs, do they stretch you at all? Like, do you find someone does something that surprises you or makes you reconsider what you're doing, or like?
No, that hasn't happened yet, actually. I've been kind of lucky. Basically, the two guys that I collab with, Benny B and Andre Jensen, they kind of introduced me to a producer named 120 in the city, and we all kind of just got to spend like nights in the studio for hours and just freestyle and write if we wanted to, and just kind of have like the ultimate freedom to really just create. And we just sorry totally.
And I didn't mean like reconsider what you're doing as in like stop doing it. I meant like oh, I don't do this way. I have never considered that, or you know.
Oh, yeah,
you know.
definitely. I've seen a lot of different artists' writing processes and just the way that they kind of come up with theirs, and just even a lot of times I played basketball coming up in the city a lot, so a lot of times growing up I wouldn't just look at the NBA players, the NCAA players. I also just look at the players I'm playing with and see kind of what skills they have and almost trying to add that to my game as well. So definitely when I see what they're doing or what kind of flows they're using and cadences, I know hip-hop is a little strict on biting styles and whatnot, but at the same time, I definitely try and take bits and pieces of each artist's talents and kind of like add it to mine as well.
So you're at the Northern Touch Festival.
Yeah, we
had Che on the show a couple weeks ago. Was there anything, because it's sort of like a conference and festival, right? Like there's like the business side of things as well as like the performances. Was there a specific like panel that you went to or an idea you came away with that was particularly edifying to you?
Yeah, for sure. Shout out to Northern Touch Music Festival for that opportunity, definitely. And I went to a lot of the booking and touring kind of conferences and just like different things to kind of stretch your fan base out and just kind of reach a broader market than just like where you're stuck at locally in your city. But one of the best things I'd say that I learned at that festival was just sitting down with the delegates and just kind of learning the festival circuit and like how it goes in terms of applying for those and just even going to the festivals, whether you're performing or not, and just kind of meeting the people you need to meet to bring you to that next level. So that was definitely a really good part of it. It wasn't just, they definitely gave me the opportunity to perform in front of a lot of people. I luckily got a Friday night slot as well. But I think definitely my favorite part of it was just like sitting in the classroom for the days after on Saturday and Sunday and just learning from all the different delegates that came in and just all their different talents and what they've kind of gone through to get to that point.
Right. Mm-hmm. Was there like one salient piece of advice that you got that like really struck home with you?
Yeah, I was talking to, I'm totally slipping with his name right now, but I was talking to someone who runs the AC3 Festival in Atlanta, and just kind of explaining to him my story and whatnot, and just telling him kind of like what I've been doing with my music and how I kind of been holding on to certain music and kind of waiting for the right time to drop it and certain things like that. And he just really kind of sat me down and just told me, like, if you are confident in what you have, like, you need to just put it out and have faith in it and not really hold on to things and wait for the right time to release these things and just kind of trust your gut and trust what the fans are going to do with it and take your chance to get those opportunities. So that really stuck with me, because I've definitely been holding back with music for a little bit here in the last couple months, just trying to save the music and get projects ready and whatnot. And I feel like now I'm just trying to let it all out and get the shows done and just kind of start progressing again instead of building up so much to do it later, you know?
Well, this August 4th show, obviously, one of those opportunities to then get it out.
Yeah, exactly.
I always get the artists to kind of pick a cut at the end of the show. Is there something that you want to kind of like feature for us?
Yeah, definitely. Just wanted to also let everyone know, too, that I dropped my episode live with Kells, episode 3. And that's actually a recap of our show last year at the Goodwill, August 20th, 2017. So if you aren't sure about coming to the show on August 4th, you can watch that and you'll definitely be convinced after that, I'd say. So.
And you mentioned, you've been kind of hinting at guests on social. Mm-hmm. Is IG the biggest thing, or what are you kind of?
Yeah, I'm on all socials. But for the most part, you can find me IG, Twitter, at official JKELZ, J-K-E-L-Z. And on everything else, like Facebook, Snapchat, it's just going to be official JKELZ, but with 2 Z, so J-K-E-L-Z-Z. And yeah, I'm pretty active on all of them, but definitely Instagram's the biggest platform. So like I said, at official JKELZ on Instagram. There's a few contests going on right now through social media to win 4 tickets free to the show. So I'd say just kind of check out the posts and enter for those. And yeah, definitely stay in touch on social media. That's where I'm announcing all like future releases and whatnot. So.
All right. Well, Jordan, thanks for coming in and sitting down, and best of luck with the show and with the slew of releases you got in the works.
Appreciate that. Thanks for having me.